This is Anna Marie Herod, and today is September 19th, 2015, and I'm interviewing for the first time Fern Hart. And this interview is taking place in her beautiful home at Brookside Way in Missoula, Montana. And this interview is sponsored by the North Fork Landowners Association and is part of the North Fork History Project. There are a number of questions that I would like to see Fern answer, but she has full possession of the questions, and so I will let Fern, and look forward to hearing Fern talk about where she came from and a whole list of issues that have to do with spending time in this incredible place called the North Fork of the Flathead, also known as Pole Bridge, Montana. Fern?
Thank you. I was born in Northwest Texas in the flatland of the flatland, and it was in 1928 on New Year's Day. I'm sorry, Leap Year's Day, and it was a joy to come out in this country. We first came to the North Fork as guests of Robert Funk, who was a colleague with my husband, a professor at Vanderbilt University, and who had his, Robert had his sabbatical, so he said, come take a time in our cabin, and I'll teach Ray how to fly fish, and you take the whole summer there. So we came out, and when we got to Columbia Falls, we were asked to find a friend of Bob's at a garage, and he drove ahead of us up the North Fork Road, and we followed in that rutted track all the way past Pole Bridge up to Bob's house, which is by Ford Flat. It was the first year for us, and our boys were just about 5 and 6, and this was sometime in the early 60s, and we still don't have the date set for when we first came. It was a surprise, but it was a beautiful country, and the joy to us was that it was mountainous and green, and that the rivers ran with water, which is not always the case in Texas. So we started out with recommendations from Bob, who also came out to work with Ray on fly fishing. We started with recommendations of people we needed to meet to get help. And one of the first persons was Lloyd Saunderson. The Saundersons were almost like the keepers of the North Fork. Lloyd had a tractor. He also had a good garage in his on his property where he had tools and could help those of us who were not used to generators and other equipment we needed. He could help us get started, and indeed he did that. Lloyd was like the good doctor for all of us up here. There were a few homesteaders that we got to meet. The Newtons, I seem to remember. There's some that I can't remember. I think we weren't quite so social then as we're social now. The life on the North Fork was pretty slow for me because I spent most of my time with the boys and trying to make interesting things for them to do. One of the things that we did is that we got magazines like Sears Catalog or whatever we could find, and we would order things that would be sent up and come by the mailman who came twice a week up the North Fork. Another nice thing the mailman always did is that he was willing to take flat tire back down to town and get it repaired and bring it up to us. And we had come out in a huge Chevrolet station wagon with our dog and everything we could think to bring, so that our tires were not the best. And several times while we were here this past that summer, we came with a flat, and it was a postman who helped us get back on our road again. I think that the social life on the North Fork was very dependent upon whoever lived there and if they wanted to take a visit up the road. If someone came to your house, you went outside and you visited for the most part outside. People did not necessarily come in, but they would visit up and down the North Fork. The Polebridge Merck was not nearly as furnished or supplied with things that we needed, and we would have to go into town, which we did like once a month, and we would buy things that our boys could look at, and maybe we could order things from that would keep us for another month there on the North Fork. Now, I would take the laundry that I couldn't do by hand, which is the way we did the laundry, and get it all done. We would buy groceries that would hopefully last for a month. We bought a lot of canned goods, as I recall, and we stored them, and we couldn't really buy fresh foods except for that one day or two because we couldn't keep it. We had no refrigeration. Though later, as I recall, propane refrigerators could be found, and they were mainly gas refrigerators that were adapted to propane, and that were very old. They were rejected by whoever had them in town, and then they were fitted out with propane, and some homesteaders would make a freezer out of that refrigerator so that they'd have a way to store food. That was a great gift. Our first summer on the North Fork was just a learning situation. And it was difficult with two active children to keep them interested. I remember taking a hike up the up the hill across the road from the Funk cabin, and I got lost. I didn't really think you could get lost if you could see the road. Well, we got high enough that I couldn't see the road, and of course, there were not many people on the road, so I didn't hear anything, but we decided we would walk downhill and see where we came, and sure enough, we weren't lost. We got there fine. It's a good lesson for a mother who I learned truly that you're in the wilderness and it's up to you to figure out how to get out or how to handle it. I think our food was strictly simple. Ray fished, and he's a good fisherman. We had fresh fish a lot. They were wonderful, tasty trout, and we really hadn't had experience of trout, certainly not in Texas where we lived, so that was a gift to us to have that kind of thing in our diet. I learned to tramp around the area and try to find lamb's quarter. I don't know if that's something that Montanans think about, but lamb's quarter is a weed that's very like spinach. And if you recognize it and you don't get a false lamb quarter, you have a very tasty greens dish. I remember finding some in a carrot And I felt so lucky that sure enough it was good, and we clean it up and enjoy that. As I said, we didn't communicate. We had no phones. There was a Forest Service phone. You could see it on different trees up and down the North Fork Road, and it was used by the Forest Service. If you had a communication from out of the North Fork, the mercantile, Pobridge Merck, would take the call, and as somebody came in the store coming up river, which we were, they would send a message up that the Harts had a package or the Harts had mail. And the postman was very, very personal, so that we had backup from him all of the time. We did enjoy floating the river. And that first year, it seems to me that that was a time because the folk cabin had a kind of a landing, and Ray and the boys and I had gotten in the raft, and we usually put in up at the border and floated down. And as we came to our landing, we passed it. And that's a little scary when you've got two little boys, though in life jackets, coming down the river along with the dog. The dog always, Lacey always went with us. So Ray jumped out and he grabbed the rope on the raft and held it tight and finally pulled us back upstream where we could get out. That was another scary thing in my life, though I floated many times past that, and I've been certainly dumped in the river many times past that. We did have grizzly bears. We had not thought about bears when we first came out, but grizzly bears were very numerous, and they would raid wherever food was out. So we always had to take care to not empty food outside, even if we wanted to just toss it, because it would invite them. I remember one time Bob had put fish to smoke in the smoker, and a bear smelled it. And of course, the bear wanted it. And Bob came running into the house, and the bear was standing in the door. He was as tall and as broad as the door. It was pretty startling. That was a time later in our time on the North Fork when we went down to the Pobridge store, got in the car, and went down and stayed down there until someone came up and tried to get the bear. Shooting a bear is not smart. If you don't kill it, you've got a wounded bear, which is a mad bear. But we were there most of the night, and finally we all decided, well, it was daylight, and we just come up. You get used to those kinds of things. We also enjoyed the Pobridge Merck. It did not have nearly the supplies that it does now, certainly not cinnamon rolls. It had what was a gift to us, a big cheese wheel. And we could go down and buy a wedge of cheese, and it was about as fresh a food as we could get. So that was a treat for us. I remember one time later in our time on the North Fork, Morgan, who was older than maybe 8 or 9, decided he was tired of being at the cabin with just the family, and he would just walk to the mercantile. And by golly, he did, and people loved it, and they picked him up, gave him rides, and he would have done it again and again. It was worth it to him. He got a real Coca-Cola. I wish I remembered better the original homestead folks. I think this oral history will help everybody to do that. It was the Saundersons that were so supportive, and Ruth, Lloyd's wife, was like the mother of the North Fork, and she could dance so lightly on her feet when we went to the squares. Another gift about going to the square dance, which would be on a Saturday night, would be Grandma Chrisman. She was truly a grandma, an older woman, and she danced happily, and she taught my boys to square dance.
Is this Esther's mother you're talking about?
Yes.
Grandma?
Oh, yes.
Interesting.
Yes. I do not remember the organization of the North Fork Improvement Association then. It was probably functioning, but it was pretty low-key, I would suspect. Actually, a surprise to me coming out of Texas, in Texas Ranch, Wheatland, was that it was free-range cattle on the North Fork. And so when the boys got even a little older, we bought yearlings, about 10, and they were to take care of them. Well, those cattle had hoof rot and pink eye regularly, and then they got out because they had no fence, and we'd have to go and find them and get them back to where we could feed them and take care of them. Then I've told you a little bit about that first year. It was just a learning situation. We, in the, about 65, we bought a place. And that was interesting because it was a real homestead. The folk place was pretty cleaned up. But the place we bought was owned by a man who came out from California. And he really only wanted to hunt, and he'd bring his friends. It was interesting on the North Fork. Bob had told Ray, you can have a place on the North Fork when one of the old timers tells you there's a place you could buy. Otherwise, if they don't say it, they don't want you to come. We were lucky. I think Lloyd was...
Ready. I'm going to punch it.
I'll try to pull this together. I'm trying to think how many years altogether we were on the North Fork. Many of those years before Ray changed and took a position at the University of Montana, we were driving out from Nashville I think it was by the time when the boys were, about 9 and 10 that we moved out here. It was 69, I can be sure about that. And of course we had gotten our own cabin. And I should describe our homestead. It was really, it was built for Esther, I think. And it was when I first moved, got into it. It had been owned by this hunter who could have cared less. And I looked down at the floor. It had linoleum on it. And there were holes in the linoleum. And you could see four other kinds of linoleum underneath in that hole. The cabin really wasn't well built, but it had a wood stove, which we enjoyed, in a kind of a so-called living room. I remember one time we came out from Nashville and the house was full of dead birds. They had flown down the chimney and they couldn't fly out, so they'd flown and deposited their stuff all over the room and died on the floor. But those were just the kind of things that, you know, you got used to, and you got used to the rats. We had not rats, mice. We had voles, really. They're a kind of a country mouse with little country ears. And they'll just come out and look at you. And I've set traps, and I caught voles. But you'd hear them every night after the house would get quiet and you're in bed. They run up the walls, across the ceiling, and then back down the other wall. And you always thought, well, you know, they're not crossing me on the bed. They're up there on the ceiling. The cabin was a gift in some ways because it still had things that we could adapt. And we had, by then, two propane refrigerators and one that would freeze things so solid it took a day to thaw it. But it was a gift to have all of that. And Ray is a good gardener, always planted a garden. So we had, until about 64 or 5, we did really pretty well. There were other families with growing kids, and they'd all get together and play volleyball or go down for the square dances. We had a full square of young people after a time. It worked really pretty well. We took a badminton set out there. There were kids around all the time. So we bought these yearling cows in the Kalispell livestock market. And the boys and some of the other families did the same with their kids. So we had a small herd of North Fork cows, free range, and they would get back in the clear cuts, up Whale Creek, everywhere. And we had one cow called the Bell Cow. And if we took her and she'd start back home, Ray would lead her, then all these cows would get behind the Bell Cow and they'd come in, you know. It's a sight to see this man with a stick leading this Bell Cow coming down out of the mountains, and all our cows come back in. The boys hated the cows. They would never, ever be ranchers. Of course, the cows were always into things, and they were a problem, but we had a great joy there because Lloyd Saunderson had use of the land, which was flat. It was a use for an airport or an airstrip. And he would plant, no, he didn't plant, it was mountain hay. And we would go up with all the kids. And Lloyd had an old tractor, and he had a baler. And he would, and Ray would drive the tractor, and then we'd have those bales all over that area, and hay has to dry up there because there's dew till late in the day, like 10:30 or 11, and the women would make big lunches, and we'd go up there, the men would be at work, and we'd have this big lunch. And then we would load those bales of hay onto one of Lloyd's trucks and drive it down the North Fork and put it in his hay barn so that the cattle would have hay for the beginning of the next year. Morgan figured out that this was not a life for him. And he said to me one day, "Mother, you know what? There are people in Missoula. There are people who are doing things." And so I decided, you know, we punished him enough. And I came down and stayed, and he got a job in the livestock yard here in Missoula. I think that was one of his worst experiences, taking care of dead chickens that came in off the train. But actually, I think we learned a lot of lessons. And he decided, and it was right before his senior year, he would indeed go to college. He wasn't going to be working just anywhere. He was going to get some kind of an education. But that was a part of our lives that was so rich, that time when we were, the kids were up into their teens and they had friends, and we did do a lot of cooking together and eating together and dancing together. I would say for me, it was the golden days. The weather was beautiful. It's a blessing. We had so many good days.
Was this in the 60s?
Yes, this was mid-60s, yeah. But finally, Morgan did give up on it, and I left Ray with Bracken and the dog, and I came down here, and we did fairly well. But life changed after that, and the boys both finally went off to college. And the North Fork has been a part of our lives in such a fundamental way ever since. Ray invariably has come back from every university he's taught in, and I will go up and we will have good friends. And now the gift to us is that Morgan and Patty seem to have adopted life on the North Fork. They know more people there than we do. We are indeed the old timers. They entertain. They have all sorts of parties and dances. They have auctions. So it really is a fulfillment for us. It's a legacy, and we're grateful.
You did a fine